Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Igris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Sarawak is set to make its mark on the aviation industry with an ambitious plan to set up its own, very own, state-owned boutique airline. However, questions linger about the viability of such an undertaking. So tonight on the show, we'll explore the opportunities and the risks that lie ahead. Joining me first is Shukor Yusof. He is founder and analyst at Endel Analytics, which is a research and advisory firm focusing on the aviation sector. Shukor, thank you for being on the show today. What do you make of Sarawak setting up its own boutique airline? Positive news?
Well, it isn't the first time that Sarawak has broached this subject matter. I think that it's been going on and off for many years, if you recall. In fact, more than a decade ago, I think they have looked at this before, and they've always wanted the air connectivity between Sarawak and other parts of Malaysia, as well as beyond Malaysia and the rest of Southeast Asia. So I think they are revisiting that plan. I think it sounds that they are more keen to do it this time around. I've read some of the articles that have been posted in the social media, in our local newspapers and all that, and it seems they're very, very sure about what they're going to do. In fact, the chief minister himself has publicly spoken about this. So I think the desire and the determination to do that is very real this time, given what he said. So I'm looking forward to the details that he might be sharing with us in due course.
All right. Well, what do you know about the aviation landscape as it stands currently? How would you describe the air connectivity in East Malaysia, specifically in Sarawak, domestically in the territory, but also between Malaya and Sarawak?
Well, as you know, Sarawak is one of two Malaysian states that are located in Borneo, in East Malaysia, and they have for the longest period been disconnected, if you like, from the peninsula by the South China Sea. And they have challenges on their own, and specifically for Sarawak, which is the largest state in Malaysia and also the wealthiest that we can describe as. And they have always been struggling to have connectivity within the state itself. I mean, this is why we have a carrier designed specifically for Sarawak, run by the Malaysia Aviation Group, and looking at connecting small towns within the interior parts of Sarawak into major cities like Kuching, like Cebu, like Miri, and that's something which the government has always been very supportive of and has always been providing the funds to do that. But I think there now comes a time when Sarawak has realized that they have grown quite significantly, and the importance of their oil and gas industry, the importance of tourism in that state, has now meant that they need to do something beyond what the government has been helping them before. And I think they've taken it upon themselves. And, you know, we should be supportive of that. I mean, this is a very brave initiative on their part to do that, to grow and to enlarge the visibility of Sarawak economically as well as socially for their own, for Sarawakians. So I think it's a move that should be looked at positively.
Okay, so clearly there are opportunities for growth by having a state-owned boutique airline in Sarawak. But what are the potential risks and challenges associated with this decision? I'm just wondering, because of the huge financial investment required, but also the fact that the Premier has said that this airline is set to be not going to be profit-oriented. So how would Sarawak make sense of the competitive landscape, the economic decisions that will go into setting up a boutique airline?
That's a very good question, Melissa. I mean, I was quite surprised by the comments made by the chief minister. I mean, I've not known any airline in the world that has been started and not interested in making money. But then this is Sarawak. It's a very well endowed state. It's a very wealthy state. Oil and gas is huge in that country, in that state. And so they are flush with cash. I mean, let's be very clear. They are increasingly the benefactor of the energy prices that keep going up in the world. And so I think when it comes to the aviation business, the capital outlay is one of the biggest concern amongst investors. But as the chief minister has said, they have the funds available, and they will be using an airline that's already existed, Hornbill, in Sarawak to do that as a platform to launch this new boutique airline. So although I'm a bit concerned, I think it's, you know, I would have like, I think it's not impossible for them to be profitable. Right. So I think, you know, over time, I think, you know, if you go on and bleed money, I think it will be a disservice to the state as well, given that there is a possibility of making money.
Right. In terms of regulatory compliance, you know, looking at aspects like safety standards and the like, would that be centralized at the federal level, or are we looking at also, you know, having state or regional territory in Sarawak that looks at these issues? Are there concerns about maybe a lack of expertise or experience in managing an airline at that level?
I think I know where you're getting at. I think there have been the talk about Sarawak and indeed Sabah having their own centralized civil aviation department for East Malaysia. But let's not forget that Sarawak and Sabah are part of Malaysia. It's part of a sovereign nation called the Federation of Malaysia. So, and in Malaysia, we have the Civil Aviation Authority of Malaysia, and they regulate and they looked after the aviation business in this country. And I think it's perhaps unwise to have a separate department to cater for whether it's Sarawak or Sabah, because we do have CAM and they've been doing a good job in running the entire ecosystem for aviation in Malaysia. So I think they would be the department or the agency that would be able to provide guidance and provide support and advice if and when Sarawak decide to have an airline. So they would need to defer to CAM to discuss on how the viability of it, and obviously the license and the requirements that are needed to have an airline. You need different sorts of license to have airline. For example, boutique airline, the sort of the type of aircraft that you are going to be able to use, for example, and those need to be approved by the CAM. So that's it's quite a complex and tedious journey towards getting the actual airline running, whether it's a low-cost airline or whether it's a boutique airline. It still needs to undergo a very rigid examination by the regulator.
All right. So very quickly, can I ask you, you know, given the enormous expense that this would require, yes, you said Sarawak's well endowed, but it's still a huge amount of money and resources that could be channeled in other areas of economic development for the territory. Are there alternative strategies to achieve the same thing, collaborations that Sarawak could consider to enhance its objectives, the air connectivity, and, you know, get that tourism and economic growth that they want without directly establishing their own airline?
Of course, I think there are many opportunities for Sarawak to look into the various viable options that they can do instead of just having their own airline looks after just Sarawak, basically. I think there are opportunities. Malaysia already has very good airlines. We've got the National Carrier Malaysia Airlines, you've got AirAsia, you've got My Airline now, and then you know, you've got SKS Airways, today, if you look at Lima, which is ongoing now, I think you can see that the health of the Malaysian aviation system is quite good. And so for Sarawak to want to do this, I think they have decided that they want to go it on their own. And I think, you know, they can do that because if they have the capacity and the funds to hire very good people, then that can be done. Let's not forget, Sarawak has also decided to have a wealth fund of its own. If you recall, not too long ago, they've decided that they want to start a sovereign wealth fund just for Sarawak. So that is the only state in Malaysia that's able to do that by virtue of the oil and gas funds that they are getting. So it would not be unthinkable at all, in my view, that for Sarawak to be able to put something out. Although I think it would be best if they were to do a scoping study, to do more in-depth, detailed research of the marketplace, because running an airline, when you have the money, it's very simple, but maintaining it and sustaining it and getting people to come and fly on your airline is completely another matter altogether.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point, the sustainability of this business model. I mean, the aviation industry is full of success stories, but it's also full of cautionary tales. So what would you say would need to be done right? What are the sensitive areas that Sarawak needs to get right to make sure that this is in fact going to be a sustainable airline for the territory?
I think first of all, I think you need good people. I think you need to have the basics right. You need to have the structure right. You need to have the concept right. You need to have, it goes back to essentially having a core group of people who understand the business, who understand airline aviation economics, and who have the experience and who have the vision to propel Sarawak to where it wants to go. And I think Sarawak needs to be very sure of this project that it wants to go in. And I think they are. And I think they have, as I said, the capability to go there. They have the idea. So what they need to do now is to get a team of experience, professionals and people from all over the world who come there and understand Sarawak, number one, and understand Sarawakians, number two, because in order to have an airline that caters to Sarawak, I think people need to understand the place and the people first. And how this merges itself into the entire Malaysia, because Sarawak is still part of Malaysia.
That's very interesting. Could I just follow up on that? What do you mean by specifically understanding Sarawak and the people of Sarawak? What makes the Sarawak market unique?
Well, it's not just Sarawak. I think Sarawak and Sabah are unique in the sense that they are located geographically in Borneo instead of the peninsula. And for the longest time, historically, they've had different cultures, they have different ideologies, they have different idiosyncrasies, if you like. And that's what makes them very peculiar and very exciting place to visit. Different food, different cultures. I mean, it's the exoticness, the uniqueness of that place. Beyond the timber, beyond the oil and gas, I think the people is what makes those places very, very exciting and attractive for foreigners or potential tourists to visit. And I think this needs to be leveraged upon when you're looking at having an airline in Sarawak. And Sarawak, I think, has such huge potential. It's such a diverse place with diverse cultures and customs and religions and all that. And it's a potentially one state that could epitomize what Malaysia truly Asia means. And that is a great area or a great lab, if you like, to putting it scientifically, where the aviation industry, different from the peninsula, where it caters mostly for regular traffic. But this is an opportunity, if you like, for Sarawak to venture into Sabah and beyond. Let's not forget the new capital of Indonesia is not is going to be located in Nusantara, not very far from where Sarawak is. And so there's huge, enormous potential. We're looking at 10, 15, 20 years down. And that by that time, I think, you know, there are a lot of movements, a lot of traffic, a lot of economic activity is going to be focused in Borneo itself.
All right, Shukra, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Shukra Yusuf, founder and analyst at Endow Analytics. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about Sarawak with its ambitious plans to set up its very own boutique airline. Joining me now is Dr. Muhammad Ashraf Abdullah. He's a senior lecturer at the Faculty of Economics and Business at UNIMAS, where he focuses on the research area of airline economics. Dr. Ashraf, thank you for joining me on the show today. What do you understand to be some of the reasons behind the Sarawak State Government's decision to establish a boutique airline?
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Melissa. I am I am very honored, yeah, to be called to this interview and on what you call it the proposed boutique airlines to be established by the Sarawak government. Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, it has always been the aspiration, yeah, of the Sarawak government to have their own, and also Sarawak, I guess, Sarawakian to have their own airline, yeah. Because looking at the geographical, you know, location of the state, that distance, yeah, between West Malaysia and Borneo Island itself, so additional airline, yeah, to serve, I mean, airfare, the best airfare, yeah, to serve the people, yeah, the community in Sarawak in particular.
Okay, so is the airfare not very good right now?
Well, it depends on the, yeah, it depends on when do you purchase. Usually during peak hours, yeah, usually during peak period, like festive seasons, yeah, and also weekends, yeah, where people used to travel. So, yeah, where people like to travel. So that will, you know, the airfare was on average was quite, you know, expensive, yeah, for people in Sarawak, yeah, in particular, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Dr. Ashraf, can I ask you, you know, in talking to people around you, what are you hearing from them about what Sarawakians want out of a boutique airline? Do they want a boutique airline?
What they want is, of course, if the boutique airline can, you know, can act as a factor that can moderate the price of airfare, why not? You know? To me, that is always that will benefit, yeah? You know, the people, those who travel, especially those who are working in Sarawak, you know, from other states in Malaysia, because nowadays, yeah, there are many, yeah, many people from other states outside Malaysia, outside the Sarawak, you know, work here, and also the Sarawakian, you know, who are working in Peninsula Malaysia and other part of Malaysia, like Sabah, you know, so. So that is very important, an important factor to be considered. Yeah, having an airline or the air transport, reasonable air transport fare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we hear that this airline is not going to be profit oriented, according to the Premier. How do you think the Sarawak State Government can address some of the concerns regarding the financial burden that it would take to not just establish an airline, but sustainably maintain one?
Well, I because, you know, the business model has not been communicated yet to the public. So I'm also wondering, but I believe they have their own ways, because they are collaborating with this Hornbill Skywells, who will operate this new airline company to be established. Yeah, so I believe with the experience of the 30 years of Hornbill Skywells, and I believe that the Sarawak government have prepared with all the the challenges ahead, in terms of course, establishing a new airlines is very costly, but looking at the effort, I strongly believe that they have the solution for that. I mean, they have a backup for that, it's just that, we are not sure what will be the solution. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's clearly, there's going to be a huge investment, but the idea is that from that investment, you get a return through the growth of state tourism and, state economy. How do you see a boutique airline facilitating that, contributing to the economic development of the territory?
The concept of a boutique airline, I'm not sure which model that they are going to follow. Are they going to follow the readily available boutique airlines like the model that we have today? Some of them are operating full service airline and even business class, But this model is yet to be announced, so it is quite difficult to anticipate what will be the next outcome or the next course.
Right. Well, looking at Sarawak itself, given its diverse geography, remote areas, challenging terrain, air travel might be the best option compared to maybe road travel. What should Sarawak consider? What are the key considerations for Sarawak in terms of, how the terrain might impact operations and connectivity? I understand Sarawak has several small airports and airstrips. How do we make sure that rural Sarawak is also serviced, is also connected through this airline? What would you like to see?
Currently we also have other airlines like the national carrier, Muswings was operating the remote operating the service to remote areas, like in the upper Miri, Baram and all the long Lama, boutique airline, to me they may complement that, complement the service. Yeah. But how they're going to custom it, that really depends on the airline, the newly established airline company itself. Yeah. Because they were going to have, one at one end to serve the so-called, I'm not sure what type of business model that they were going to follow, maybe. On the other side, if you say that they are going to tackle for the community airline for the community service airline for the community, I don't think that is the main objective. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because the reason is now to stabilize the airfare between, Kuching to West Malaysia and also other parts, to Kota Kinabalu, and because people have been complaining on the harsh airfares, particularly during the festive seasons.
Mm. Okay, so the key consideration would be how to make airfares more affordable and to stabilize during peak periods, as you mentioned earlier. So if I had to ask you, Dr. Ashraf, if you had the ear of the Premier, Tan Sri Abang Johari, what would you advise him? What business model would you suggest to him to make sure that this boutique airline takes off successfully?
Having a look at from what comments that have been made by people, so I look at perhaps they can come up with a model that nearly similar to the low-cost carrier model, you know, so that because at the end of the day, although the objective is not to compete with the other airline operators, but to survive on its own, it has to compete. Mm. Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, in the long term, yeah, for long-term survival. So some of the measures need to be taken maybe to look forward for this, to somehow come up with a business model that more or less like the low cost model. Yeah, yeah, because flying with low cost, that can ensure that you can offer the cheapest price, yeah, affordable price, yeah, yeah, in that sense, yeah, to the people, yeah, to the travelers, right. Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Ashraf, thank you so much for joining me. That was Dr. Mama Ashraf Abdullah from UNIMAS wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.